Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
Copper Bullets, the four-part series from Amazing Sports Stories, is available now.
Zambia was considered as an underdog.
Are we going to do the impossible here?
Search for Amazing Sports Stories wherever you get your BBC podcasts. Do you ever get those annoying messages on your phone? Me and friends of mine who are also British Chinese have been plagued by them for years. Some of them, like this one.
你好,英国移民局, UK Visas and Immigration.
Say I need to contact UK Immigration. There's a problem with my visa, or maybe there's an issue with a parcel I'm supposed to have sent. They're clearly some sort of scam, and a pretty basic one at that, so we just ignore them. But now, Chinese-speaking people around the world are being targeted in ways which take things to a terrifying new level. And if you take the bait, you can find your world turned upside down.
These victims and their families have lost hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Scammers who go to extreme lengths to convince you that they're the police.
So he gave you a tour of what looked like a Chinese police station.
Yes, it looks very real to me.
And who will trick you into thinking that you're a wanted fugitive.
I'm fighting for my life. If I go back to China, I may never come back.
Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Elaine Chong from BBC Trending, and in the first part of a special two-episode investigation, I'm looking into the rise of the fake Chinese police. My mum's got this friend called Helen. They met at Scottish Country Dancing. Helen was born in China, but for the past 30 years, she's been living in Britain. She works as an accountant. Helen knows I'm a journalist, and one day recently she got in touch. She said she had a story she needed to tell me about something that happened to her last August.
I was in bed, I heard a phone call, I thought it was my mum, because she's the only person called me at 8 o'clock in the morning on Sunday.
But it wasn't her mum.
Miss Young, are you Miss Young? I said, yes, what can I do for you? Are you calling from China? Yes, I suddenly wake up.
Speaking in Mandarin, the man says he's a customs officer from the Chinese city of Shenzhen, and he's calling about a serious matter.
He said, we are from customs excise. Your parcel being stopped because it contains illegal milk powder.
Milk powder is heavily regulated in China after a scandal in 2008. Thousands of children were made ill and several died after drinking contaminated milk.
I said, I didn't send any parcel, come on. I say, yeah, I live in London, but that's not me.
The customs officer says that Helen must file a police report if she thinks someone has used her identity to send the illegal parcel. Helen is sceptical about all this, but something prevents her from hanging up.
Chinese people, someone like myself, because I was born bred in China, we were told obedience to your parents, to your party. So when the party asked me to do something or my parents asked me that, very rare I would say no.
They transferred you to a Chinese police station?
Yes. So take a long time, get through. They pick up a call for an official. 警察局有什么事? It means police station, how can I help?
The man introduces himself as Officer Feng, but Helen still has doubts.
How do I know you're real police? Switch on WhatsApp. We can connect. So he connected me that moment.
When Helen accepts Officer Feng's video call, she sees a uniformed man who holds his police ID up to his face. And then...
So he took out his phone. He showed me the environment of the office he working. Seems like two, three policemen working there with a uniform. And one receptionist there with a desk with the police logo. And he even stepped outside, showed me a little bit the outside the door.
So he gave you a tour of what looked like a Chinese police station. Did that make you think it was real?
Yes, it looks very real to me. That moment, all my suspicion, all my doubt are gone. I actually apologized to Officer Feng for questioning him. So I said, I'm sorry, I just have to be careful nowadays. There's lots of criminals outside there. I apologize.
Helen says Officer Feng began taking down details, but then in the background she hears her name being read out over the tannoy. Officer Feng has to take an important call about her. He puts Helen on hold by covering his screen, but she can still listen in.
heard the conversation, he said, yes, yes, that, that, that. He seems like take a lot of orders. So I was still holding the phone. And then when he came back face to face, he said, now I just talk to government security. You are in our wanted list. I said, how could it be?
Officer Fung tells Helen she's suspected of being part of a gang responsible for a massive financial fraud. Several victims in Shenzhen have lost everything. One has even taken their own life, he says.
I said, that's nonsense. I never know anything about that. He said, but that's your passport number. That's your name. So they immediately show me bank statement.
He briefly waves a document on screen. It appears to show a vast amount of money in an account in Helen's name.
I panic. I said, that's not true. He said, everyone said not true. No one said they're guilty. So what you say, it doesn't matter. It's what evidence counts.
Officer Fung tells her that if she's really innocent, then her only hope is to help the authorities catch the real crooks. The first step is signing a confidentiality agreement.
You're not brief a word to your friends, family, to your boss, nothing. If you tell anyone, you're already being interviewed by Chinese police. Your life is in danger.
Finally, after 7 hours on the phone, Officer Fung lets Helen go, but only after she's downloaded an app so he can listen in to what she's doing 24/7, just in case she tries to tip anybody off. Breaking the confidentiality agreement would add 6 months to her sentence, she's been warned. Helen's in shock. Somebody is framing her, but she can't tell anybody. For the next few days, she tries to act normally at work. She spends her evenings working on the statement that she's been ordered to write, detailing every aspect of her life. Then early one morning, Officer Fung calls back. She says he told her several suspects were now in custody, and they're all accusing Helen of masterminding the investment fraud. One of them is a British woman who has signed a confession.
So she writes a statement to confirm she's working for me. She was only do what I told her to do, and she will get some money.
Officer Fung sends her a video which shows a male suspect being questioned in a police interview room. He's strapped into a chair behind bars and is confessing to an unseen interrogator. Another officer is glimpsed pacing behind the suspect. It looks very real. Helen can barely believe what she's hearing when the prisoner names her as his boss in the money laundering conspiracy.
So that's how he confessed. He do job for me because he got order from me and he confirmed my name.
In the video, you hear your name.
Yes, name very clearly.
The suspect is wearing a large COVID mask, so it's impossible to tell if what you're hearing matches his lip movements. It could be that a fake soundtrack has been added with Helen's name. Perhaps the scammers personalise these videos for each victim. Helen is also sent a charge sheet with her photo on it. We've taken a look and it seems very official. It has the names of a real-life judge and prosecutor. But there are telltale signs that it's fake. The official seal is the wrong shape. And the document mentions a branch of the Chinese government that no longer exists. But to Helen, who is convinced she's talking to genuine Chinese law enforcement, it seems all too real.
That moment, I know whatever I say, they're not believing me. So I start crying. I said, well, this is all not true.
Officer Fung tells Helen that because of the mounting evidence against her, she's going to be extradited to China.
So you've got 24 hours. You pack your bag, everything. Police are coming to take you to airport.
But you're a British citizen, so how can they extradite you back to China?
That's exactly the question you ask. I'm a British citizen, you cannot just do that. He said, no, we have Interpol. It doesn't matter, you're a British citizen.
Officer Fung waves a document, which he says is a new extradition agreement between China and Britain.
So I said, no, you must be able to do something. Please help me. I beg him. So he said, but order is order, nothing I can do. So I say, okay, speak to your boss.
After much pleading, Officer Fung puts her through to another uniformed man. He's called Mr. Gao. He's a prosecutor, and he says Helen may be able to halt her extradition if she pays bail money.
We need you to confirm all your money in your bank statement is your money. If we find out one penny from criminal account, then you are dead as hell.
Helen sends over her bank statements for inspection. When Mr. Gao has had a look, he orders her to transfer her life savings of £29,000. The money is apparently going to a Chinese government bail fund.
I feel terrible because I promised my daughter to give her money for her first flat. So I felt very, very bad.
But Mr. Gao gives her hope that her bail money, which is more than $36,000, is not gone forever.
He said, if we prove you are innocent, all money will return to you without one penny less. So I am very confident I'm innocent.
Things seem to be looking up when Officer Feng calls back a few days later. They've decided the money in Helen's account is clean. But then, when she's put through to Mr. Gao, her hopes crumble.
Our general attorney doesn't believe this owes your bank account. He's saying, we want you borrow $250,000 as a bail fund. So that's guarantee you're not running away. I say, how on earth I will raise $250,000? I don't have money.
This is the documentary from the BBC World Service.
Der Disney Plus Serientipp.
Hey, hier spricht Meredith Grey, direkt aus dem Grey Sloan Memorial Hospital. Wir suchen Verstärkung, denn hier kommen viele neue Fälle rein. Unsere Station ist voll mit außergewöhnlichen Patienten, jungen Ärzten in Ausbildung und viel zwischenmenschlichem Drama. Also schau schnell vorbei.
Grey's Anatomy, die neuen Folgen und alle Staffeln nur auf Disney Plus streamen. Abo schon ab 5,99 € pro Monat. Und nun viel Spaß beim Podcast, wünscht Disney Plus.
In 1993, Zambia's World Cup dreams were shattered when the plane carrying the men's national football team crashed en route to a World Cup qualifier match in Senegal.
The one source of pride that put Zambia up there among the best.
The streets, the markets, everywhere, the people were mourning.
Amazing Sports Stories from the BBC World Service tells Zambia's extraordinary story of triumph born from tragedy.
That was the start of a new era for Zambia.
Let's go and do it for our friends who have gone before us.
Listen now by searching for Amazing Sports Stories wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
This is the documentary with me, Elaine Chong. And for BBC Trending, I've been investigating the scammers who pose as Chinese police. We'll come back to Helen in a bit. Her story is extraordinary, but not unique. If you look at the Little Red Book app, which is popular with people in the Chinese diaspora, there are numerous posts about people falling for the same scam all over the world. Police in Los Angeles say one elderly woman there handed over $3 million. But why are Chinese people outside of China being targeted like this? And why do they seem so vulnerable to this type of crime? Laura Half is campaign director of Safeguard Defenders, a human rights group that monitors transnational repression. That's when a government harasses or attacks opponents who are in exile outside its borders.
These scammers are able to run these schemes because Chinese transnational repression is real.
To be clear, Laura doesn't think the Chinese state is carrying out the frauds. But she says its actions overseas have created a climate of fear, and that's what the scammers are exploiting.
Because the efforts by the Chinese Communist Party to go after people abroad, to seek and control overseas communities, silence dissent in overseas communities, is a very real thing.
Just across the Brooklyn Bridge, this nondescript office building in the heart of bustling Chinatown in Lower Manhattan has a dark secret.
In April last year, prosecutors in New York charged two men with operating a secret Chinese police station there. U.S. District Attorney Breon Peace said the accused had monitored and harassed Chinese dissidents in America.
The Chinese National Police appear to have been using the station to track a U.S. resident on U.S. soil.
Safeguard Defenders alleges that China is operating secret police stations in more than 50 countries. The BBC can't independently verify this claim, and the Chinese government dismisses these allegations as sheer political manipulation. It also denies engaging in transnational repression. In a statement, the Chinese embassy in London said,
"There are simply no so-called secret police stations. China adheres to the principle of non-interference in other countries' internal affairs, strictly observes international laws, and respects the judicial sovereignty of other countries." China conducts law enforcement and judicial cooperation with other countries in accordance with the law. The Chinese government spares no effort to ensure the legitimate rights and interests and the personal safety of Chinese citizens overseas.
However, it is clear that criminals are playing on the perception that the Chinese state could be watching. And it's a perception shared even by Chinese people who aren't involved in politics. I spoke to a scam victim in New Zealand who handed over more than $40,000 to crooks who claimed to be Chinese police. She was convinced that she was under surveillance because they described the shopping centre and children's playground she can see from her window. They may have just used Google Street View. But if you're being targeted by such an elaborate and sophisticated fraud, how can you tell fact from fiction? Last summer, a couple in France reached out to Laura Half because they had been contacted by Chinese police. The wife is from Taiwan and was being threatened with extradition to China. What should they do?
Yeah, immediately I kind of felt that something was off.
Like Helen, the woman had been sent official-looking documents and made to sign a confidentiality agreement. She was monitored for weeks and ordered to send videos every 3 hours to prove where she was.
There was a call with a fake judge, basically, again, kind of driving home the point that they were really investigating and that this was all real. There were various triggers, that red flags, that I was pretty sure this doesn't sound like an actual transnational repression case. This sounds like a scam.
Laura told the couple that, and the crooks went away empty-handed. By now, you could be wondering if these scammers may actually be real Chinese police, albeit corrupt ones. Well, the evidence suggests that they're not, and like the victims, they are probably not even in China. We'll get onto that in part two. But let's get back to Helen. After she's handed over her life savings, the scammers are threatening her with extradition to China if she doesn't find even more bail money. They say she needs to borrow £250,000, more than $300,000, from friends and family, because only a person with good character would be able to do that.
I'm fighting for my life. If I go back to China, I may never come back. So I started thinking who I can borrow $250,000. I go through 10, 15 friends. None of them have $250,000 spare, apart from one.
I've known Helen as a friend, a close family friend, for about 15 years.
That's Helen's wealthy friend, who doesn't want to be named.
I got a call from Helen late in the evening, which was most extraordinary, quite unlike her.
He said, OK, you want a $250,000 loan. Tell me what's that about. What loan for? I said, I cannot tell you.
And she began to break down alarmingly on the telephone, crying with some terrible panic. So I was very worried.
He raises the alarm with Helen's daughter. When she goes round, she finds her mother in a terrible state.
So I put a finger in my mouth, don't talk. I write a piece of paper, tell her my phone, someone listening.
Helen wraps her phone in tea towels and shuts it in a kitchen drawer. She leads her daughter into a bedroom, closes the door and puts a duvet over their heads.
I decide to tell her everything because it's too big and not tell. I start tell her everything. The moment I tell, my body is shaking non-stop.
Helen's daughter listens carefully and then patiently explains it's a scam. It takes Helen a while to fully believe it's true. And she spends a night in a hotel just in case the Chinese police really do turn up at her home. Mother and daughter go to a police station, a real one in London, and report everything. The scammers eventually stop calling and their lines go dead. Helen's bank refunds the money she lost. But there could easily have been a much bleaker ending to her ordeal.
For 2 weeks, I hardly slept. How can you sleep if someone is monitoring your phone?
In the fortnight that Helen was in contact with the scammers, she crashed a car twice, on the second occasion completely wrecking it.
So I finished work, came in home, and then go to my basement parking. I suddenly fall asleep, because I didn't sleep. So I fall asleep crashing my car through a wall.
Thankfully, Helen escaped with minor injuries. She now feels a bit foolish for believing the scammers, but they went to such great lengths to convince her they were real. Helen genuinely thought she was being a good citizen by cooperating. And because this is a crime that thrives on shame, Helen wants to warn others.
I don't want another person to go through what I went through. Could be even much more dangerous. I didn't kill any people when I car crashed, but I could. This type of criminal skunk could kill people.
You've been listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Elaine Chong. Look out for the second part of my BBC Trending investigation, in which I discover just how far the scammers will go to extort money.
These victims are told to stage their own kidnapping in order to seek further funds or a ransom from their family members in order to be released.
My thanks to producer Ed Main and our editor Flora Carmichael. If you'd like to get in touch, my email is elaine.chong@bbc.co.uk. Thanks for listening and goodbye.
In 1993, Zambia's World Cup dreams were shattered when the plane carrying the men's national football team crashed en route to a World Cup qualifier match in Senegal.
The one source of pride that put Zambia up there among the best.
The streets, the markets, everywhere, the people were mourning.
Amazing Sports Stories from the BBC World Service tells Zambia's extraordinary story of triumph born from tragedy.
That was the start of a new era for Zambia.
Let's go and do it for our friends who have gone before us.
Listen now by searching for Amazing Sports Stories wherever you get your BBC podcasts.